Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
I am so blown away by what God brings here to the Truth Network to share with you guys. And today is one of the days that I'm just kind of like, oh my goodness, I can't believe the lineup I have for you. You're just going to be so blessed, I think, to hear what all's going on in so many diverse ways. Because, you know, often he gives me people from really, really different ways that God has given them a passion and they're using it to build the kingdom. And this is one of those days that is like super powerful but super diverse at the same time. And first off, I got a chance this week with my friend Larry George. We talked about last week with Sloan Missionary Homes. Took me to the Moore International Prayer Breakfast that happened in Burlington. And oh my soul. These folks are working with a persecuted church, and what God is doing through this ministry, I just think it's going to take your breath. When you hear these stories, I think you're going to be so glad that you got to find out so many things about the persecuted church. But my first guest is Mario, and I'm going to try his name. He's from Brazil. Is it Freitas?
Yes. Sounded right.
Oh, wow. That's the first time I ever got anybody's name. Very good. But Mario, how cool. You are raised in Brazil?
Yes. Born and raised. Yes.
But you ended up going to China.
Was a missionary in China for about 4 years and have been serving the persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and I know you're going to be blessed out of your socks by what he is going to bring to you today. But also with me is my dear friend and fellow friend of Larry George. So if Larry, you're listening, you know you're going to kick out of this. Andy Bowersox. But Andy, the way that we came to know Andy, and you're going to find this out, Mario, is that Larry George used to have a radio show. It came on at 12 o'clock, actually. It was called A Place Missionaries Call Home. And one day, this was 10 years ago or so, he had the idea of he wanted to do a reality show, kind of like, Survivor or whatever, but he wanted to do it with missionaries. And so he wanted to find these three missionaries that were all being called to the mission field, and we were going to kind of follow them to see which one survived.
Hopefully we all survived, Roger. I'm trying to, like, do you remember the name of that program?
Well, it was A Place Missionaries Call Home, but the name of the series that he did, it wasn't Survivor.
Nope. I know. I describe it a little bit differently. It was called The Journey.
The Journey, that's right.
And it was you're right, a radio reality show about people that God is somehow transitioning from marketplace ministry into full-time Christian service.
You say that. You ought to be on radio, man.
Listen, I repeat that story a lot, actually. When I brag about you, that's how I repeat the story right there. So, and Larry, too. Larry, if you're out there, like, you know, we love you.
So he is so good that I understand that on August 18th, you're doing Kingdom Pursuits for me live. Have you heard about this? He's opening up his eyes like he didn't know. But Stu told me that you're doing it live at an event that's going to be.
Everybody loves Stu. He is a little bit presumptuous at times, but we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
But anyway, if I were just blatantly honest, these three missionaries, one of them was being called for Africa, and I think another one was being called to India. And then there was this guy that was going to do this recreational ministry, take pastors out fishing and hunting and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, right.
It's never going to work. But yeah, me too. Me too.
And I thought, really? Larry, where'd you get this guy? But oh my word, what God has done in all our lives since then, Andy. And this Pray for Your Pastor tour is going to be an example of what God has done through your obedience to what seemed like a crazy idea.
Yeah. When we get into it, Robbie, like, this has actually been a little bit of an emotional tour for me, just because you're right. I mean, it's been almost 10 years since God called us to provide, at that time, recreational, like, 1, 2, and 3 day retreats for pastors and other ministry leaders. Kingdom leaders, we call it, really, Mario. But I thought it was crazy. I mean, you know, I thought it was crazy. You thought I was crazy. Half the world thought I was crazy, myself included, and it was just nuts. But here we are almost 10 years later, and God has truly given us an incredible platform to not only provide direct encouragement, refreshment, and still those recreational outings, but really to engage and create awareness and enlist an army of believers across the nation that are committed to preventive care and prayer support for their pastors, for their other ministry leaders. And the tour is one of the ways we do that. So we'll talk about that more in a bit.
And really, in a way, it's the persecuted church. Because if you don't think pastors are persecuted, you don't know many of them very well. I'm just saying. And right this minute, I feel like Truth Broadcasting is persecuted because we got transmitters underwater. We're asking for prayer as we speak because there's several of our radio stations people are not hearing this morning because we're underwater in several locations. So, you know, it's interesting. Satan, he's persecuting all over the place, Mario, but one of the places he persecutes many of us, myself including, is in the area of finances. So he rises up these wonderful folks, and we have a fellow talk show host. It's Steve Repack. He's the author and the radio host of Your Money, God's Way. I kind of like that title, Steve.
Yeah, it's we all have gifts, and we're all different bodies of Christ, and we need to use those gifts to further God's kingdom. And I just felt moved to do that because, like I said, I left the Army with $32,000 of credit card debt, and no one taught me about finances. And it wasn't until I got out of finances, God opened the door, and here I am, helping other people with their finances. And this person still had $32,000 of credit card debt. And like I said, that's just one of the things that we struggle as Christians, and God expects us to be good stewards and expects to use our gifts and talents and things like that to further his kingdom. Like I said, we just live a more joyous life, but we always continue to listen to the lies of the world saying that we got to have the big house, the new car, the great clothes to be happy and joyous. And those things are what's actually keeping us from Christ.
Interestingly and coincidentally, but not coincidentally, if you knew my story, the whole reason I'm here before you this morning is because the night that God showed up when I was praying and said, Robbie, I want you to get on the radio and talk about what breaks your heart every day. And he knew that I was a car dealer and that I was putting people in stupid amounts of debt, and it broke my heart every day that I was doing it. And often I would even tell the people, do you really want to take this stuff off? Because I'm looking at your financials, and this just doesn't make sense. And understanding the trap that is set for you by the world and whatever is a big reason I feel like God had me here at this. But it led to wonderful opportunities with Andy and now Mario. And so it's really cool that we have this show today. And we have a lot in common, Steve. But it is Kingdom Pursuits, and my producer's going, Robbie, you got to get to your jokes. In fact, I was with a listener just yesterday. He said, Robbie, our favorite part of Saturday morning is when you tell your stupid jokes.
Now, I can't
Andy,
agree with that, listener. That's not my favorite part right there.
Characterize my jokes as stupid is unbelievable. I only have a minute, but I'm going to try to do what I can. So speaking of the church, because this is all about the church today. Did you know a pear shaped like a church bell is sort of appealing? I'm just saying. A pear shaped. And I don't know if you knew this, but the church lawyer did some cross examining. There you go. And in the Episcopalian church, erring canons cannot be defrocked, they can only be fired. The priest at the Catholic Church was very stern during his service last Sunday. That's when he realized he was experiencing critical mass. That's hard when this is all about you, Andy. Critical mass, you can't have that. And of course, our church welcomes all denominations, but we prefer 20s and 50s.
I can appreciate that one.
So I got it done, Jasper. In just the seconds we got left, here's the riddle. The church is meant to rock your world, in a manner of speaking. So who is your favorite rock star in the Bible? The church was meant to rock your world. So who is your favorite rock star in the Bible? You call in. We got Steve's book for you, Your Money, God's Way, 866-348-7884. Your favorite rock star, and I'm talking rock in the Bible, 866-348-7884. I got it done. We need your calls. Call in. We got so much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have Mario Freitas from More International. They're equipping the persecuted church worldwide. We're going to hear a lot from him, as well as Andy Bowersox and his Pray for Your Pastor tour. He just got back. He was so excited. He said, Robbie, could I come in? And say, oh, man, please. We would love to hear what happened on his road trip, which I love road trips. And then Steve Repack, we're so blessed to have somebody from Charlotte. You know, we have our stations there in Charlotte. We don't get enough people on from Charlotte. So, Steve, we're really glad to have you here from Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, it's an honor. I mean, like I said, it's about a less than an hour and a half drive as a way to clear my mind and have some quiet time with the Lord. And I sit there and listen to my Bible app on the way over here. But like I said, it's an honor to be out
here. You
didn't
listen to the Christian Car Guy?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't think you were on just yet. I didn't think you were. I thought you came on a little bit later.
No, it's okay, Steve. I'm really glad. I'm really, really, really glad. And he's the host on... Is it Jesus Radio?
Just Jesus Radio. It's out of Gaffney, South Carolina. It's internet radio. We got listeners throughout the throughout the U.S. internationally, and I do a show. It comes on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. And something I felt that I got called to do is that my real life job is I manage high net worth individuals, and God, just put in my heart that He didn't put me on earth to sit there and just help. Just people with money with their money is to help people that don't have money. Those are the ones that are really, really struggling. And it's just like me. Like I said, I left the Army with $32,000 of credit card debt, and I wasn't giving like I was supposed to. I wasn't being a good steward of my financial resources. I was stressing and worrying. I didn't have a joyous life. And I kind of figure out the secret is that the people that had more, man, those they just did the opposite of everybody else. And I called it the 10-10-80 rule. It's like you give 10%, you save the next 10%, you live off the rest. And it's like it says, it's not rocket science. There's no magic formulas that are out there. It's just changing your mindset. And like I said, to be more of a steward, that you don't own this stuff, is that God is just letting you borrow it. And he expects you to manage it properly, because if he doesn't, he's going to take it from you.
There you go. And as you can see, Steve has been gifted now to be able to share that in so many different ways. But right now I'm just seriously shocked that none of my listeners have called in with their favorite rock star in the Bible. Aren't you shocked, Andy?
I actually thought that was one of the easier ones that you've put out there. It's going to be hard to get that wrong, I think.
Well, it would be impossible because nobody's ever.
I know how it goes, but
866, really? 866-348-7884. And Mario, share a little bit more of your story of what happened when you went to China. As you thought, well, okay, God's called me to China to be a missionary. He had a little something different for you, didn't he?
Oh, yes. The story is actually my calling to the suffering church, to serve brothers and sisters of the persecuted church. So it all happened back in 99. I went to China as a missionary. I was serving with Youth of the Mission, which is, I believe, the largest mission organization on the planet still, if you ask me. And I was basically doing college ministry there. I was really happy with the results and, sharing Jesus all over the place. But this day, one day I was in this town of the western part of China, and I had a team doing college ministry there with me. And I was walking in the streets, and I saw a store. Actually, I have a little picture of the guy there for you. That he did like some art stuff with wire. How do you describe that kind of as a like framing?
Yeah, it's art with wire. I mean, yeah. That's it.
That's a
sculptor, maybe.
So, yeah.
Wire sculptor.
Yeah.
Very cool. Chinese wire sculptor.
Yeah, they had like Chinese character stuff, hanging up on the wall, and little dragon stuff. Very Chinese-like. But I saw the fish of Christianity, that symbol that we have here in cars. And I know that that doesn't mean a lot to the Chinese. And I was looking outside the window just looking at the fish, called my attention. So he comes from inside the store, and he asks me in Mandarin. My Chinese was pretty broken back then. I was there for like 6 months, I want to say. And he asks me, are you part of the fish? That was his question. Are you part of the fish? I think they believe every foreigner is a Christian, could be a Christian. And I said, yes, I am part of the fish. He invited me into the store, called his daughter. He lived right behind the store. His daughter spoke some English. And long story short, he invited me to go to church with him next day. We were not even supposed to, if you ask me, because we know that the persecuted church hides in China, the underground church, foreigners can be followed. That was back in 2000, I want to say, the year 2000. So, but I went. I really felt in my heart, I need to see this. You know, I didn't know much about the persecuted church back then. So I met him at his store the next day. He drove us 40 minutes out of town. It was him, his wife, myself, and his daughter in the sitting in the back. Then he pulls to the shoulder of the road, hides his car under a bush, and has us walk for another 30 or 40 minutes into the woods. If I was by himself, well, by myself with him, I would be scared. But his family was there, so it was okay. And we just walked. I didn't see anybody. I didn't see any cars. I didn't see any houses, anything. Just, you know, green, just trees. Then we get to this building, this old building, probably a brick factory or something. When he opens the door, there are more than 200 Christians worshiping in there. All of them came from the same town. They drove their cars. They hid their cars behind bushes the same way. There was no electricity. There was no sound system. They were just praising the Lord. I was, you know, so happy to be there. And then the service happened. The young girl, the man's daughter, she was translating some of it for me. This is the real thing I wanna tell you. After, you know, 30 minutes we were there in the service, the Holy Spirit, you know, just present. I could, you know, just feel that worship atmosphere, just amazing. Then the pastor invites up front two families. One family was a man in his 50s, his wife, his son, college age son, and his teenage daughter. Second family, a young couple with a baby. The two families come up front. Family number one, they looked very sad, devastated. And I'm bad with facial expressions, but that caught my attention. Like, they are sad. Second family, they were happy. They were joyful, and they were carrying a baby. So I'm thinking this probably is a moment of the service that the pastor prayed for families. Family number one probably lost a dear one. They looked sad. Family number two are probably going to pray for the baby, dedicate the baby, something like that. I asked the girl. She said, no, this is the Bible ceremony. And I was, what does she mean by the Bible ceremony? I noticed that the family number one was holding a Bible. So that man, the man of the first family, he started speaking, and his first sentence actually made me really confused. He said, this week was the best week of the history of our family. But they didn't look like that. They looked sad. And he said, because the word of God dwelled in our house. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he goes on, I didn't go to work. My wife didn't go to work. My kids didn't go to school. My boy is the best reader in the house. So he would read out loud for us. We would start very early in the morning till the evening. We would eat in front of the Bible. We wouldn't stop. In 1 week, we read the Bible from the whole New Testament and the Old Testament from Genesis to Joshua. We did that in a week. The reason why we are sad is that we know that by the church size and the roster here, it's going to take us about a year for the word of God to dwell in our house again. So that's when I realized that the committee of 200, they had two Bibles, one for the church, for the pastor to prepare sermons, and the other one for the church to share around. And that was the day I cried a lot that day, like as the day when I got saved, you know. I had 9 Bibles sitting in my house in Hong Kong that I barely used, like study Bibles that I used for sermon prep. And I had one Bible that I actually use every day, but they're just sitting there. I felt guilty. I felt filthy. I felt like, this is wrong. You know, this is not right that my brothers and sisters don't have access to the most valuable thing that I don't even think it's that valuable in my perspective, the Bible. So that became my thing that day. And now I work for More International, trying to inspire people to think
actually,
and pray
for
the
persecuted
church.
To say you work for More International would be more like God gave you a vision.
Amen.
For the persecuted church.
Amen. Yes.
That would equip them, which is the mission of More International, in so many different ways. We're going to get to that. But interestingly, talk about emotional experiences. We don't have much time, Andy, but you can maybe begin to take us where, you know, God's taken you this week, the last month or so.
Yeah, well, what I was referring to earlier, you know, it is crazy to think about how we got started on these recreational retreats to really being a catalyst and engaging in what we call an army of believers that are committed. And a little over 5 years ago, that was part of our vision to be able to travel to all 50 states, to speak through radio, to speak through churches, to just engage a remnant, at least, in all 50 states of people that are committed to preventive care and prayer support. As you know, Robbie, the co-founder of our ministry, Dave Annan, he passed away earlier this year. And well, let me just come back to it after the break, because it's really a significant moment I want to talk about. So,
that was a very interesting, or that homegoing was a deal. So we're going to hear about that. Yeah. The great news is we have George and Ken that both have answers to rock star questions. We're going to hear from them. We'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion. We're so glad, by the way, that you tuned in. We're going to hear some more about how God gives these amazing people today their passion, how, you know, God uses that to build the kingdom. And we get to hear about it and see about it right here in beautiful downtown Winston-Salem. It just amazes me. Every week, just international stuff that's going on across the country, all sorts of cool stuff. But right now we want to talk about these rock stars in the Bible. And I got George is in Durham. George, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Tell me about your favorite rock star.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
My favorite rock star, I'm a new Christian for about a year, but my favorite rock star in the reading, which I can't quote any chapters and verses, but was Nebuchadnezzar.
How cool. Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that guy was a rock star.
Yeah.
As I don't know many people who eat grass and could still come out and write a whole chapter in the Bible that gets canonized and everything, you know.
I read it over and over, and I get fixated with it.
You know, and it's an interesting thing that the Bible, or obviously God held Nebuchadnezzar in really high stead. He was the head of gold. According to Daniel, and it, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that we're going to find out about Nebuchadnezzar. So I'm loving your rock star, George. I think you picked a winner, and you know the fact that he was that whole, you know, vision that Daniel had is kind of like he was a rock, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you, George. God bless you. I'm so glad you called in today.
And bless you. I'm glad I called. I'm glad I won.
You did win, and you get this wonderful book, Six-Week Money Challenge. So money's coming your way. I can see that's going on. God bless you. Thanks,
all
George.
Right,
we got Ken is in Colfax. Oh, Ken. I know Ken wasn't thinking. Maybe he was thinking Nebuchadnezzar, but there are more answers. There are more answers to rock stars in the Bible, and you're welcome to call in at 866-348-7884. But when we left our hero, Andy, you were telling us, you know, this was a different year for you.
Yeah, so, you know, we just finished up our tour, and I started to tell you, you know, it was about 5 years ago, Dave and I, the co-founder of our ministry, began discussing, you know, these bus tours. Like, what is it like? And, you know, you talked about a vision right before the break. Mario was talking about this is More International. It's a vision that God gave him right there, right? And for us, it's a vision of, like, wrapping this old bus and turn it into a Pray for Your Pastor tour. And I was thinking, like, what does that even mean? You know, like, what does that look like? But it just got open doors for us to visit churches, to go through other studios like this, to engage audiences. And sort of the way that works is when we travel through an area, we'll do interviews like this and say, hey, would you like us to stop and visit your pastor? We've got some gifts. We've got some encouragement we want to drop off. And people call in and they tell us, and we sort of GPS and Google where they're at. And as we have time, we just visit those churches on the way. And so anyway, it was truly a nationwide endeavor. There's a 5-year plan. And so this summer, when we pulled into Oregon, that was the last of the lower 48 states that we had not visited yet in that big bus, which is pretty monumental. Like, if it's almost 20 years old, but that thing had just like rides on the wings of faith and prayer right there.
And stays cool, the air conditioner.
Pretty much so. I don't know if I told you that story the other day, but you know, it's just when we I had to stop there and take a picture of that Oregon sign and think, like, 5 years ago, did we ever really think that this was going to happen, that we would truly reach every state in our nation, and not just one-on-one, but through the airways and through pulpits and platforms to be able to continue to grow this. And so it sort of left me thinking, like, I wish Dave was still here. You know, he passed away earlier this year, and I wish he was still here to be part of that. But it sort of left me thinking, like, what's next now, right? Like I don't know what's next. I mean, we got a big challenge, a big vision, a lot to do. As you guys know, there's always way more to do than there is time
water
and resources.
Wings.
But anyway, so that was a super super experience, a unique experience for me to take that in. So
it is, and it's kind of an amazing thing when I sit back and see, you know, how is God has spread that from. You know, if you go, it's really cool.
A skeet shooting day at the farm over there.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
If you go to kingdompursuits.com, by the way, you can find more about Steve's book, or you can find out about more international. But you're going to see there's pictures of Andy's tour there. And one of the places that he stopped was with Chris Roloff in Des Moines.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a picture of Chris, who's one of the Truth Broadcasting Station managers across the country. And you know, that was a huge deal for Chris.
You know, it's like that's a classic example of a pastor that not knowing we're coming, okay? But we wheel into their church. That was actually a Sunday morning visit right there, big bus. And there's something encouraging to people just when they even see that coming in the parking lot. I met a pastor somewhere along the – I think he's actually locally here. But he said, you know, the first time I saw that bus, he says, all I could say was praise God that somebody is speaking on our behalf right there. Because so many times our pastors, our leadership, they're.
So,
have
you not seen this? I got to describe it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
This thing is it's a mobile home. He calls it a bus. It's a mobile home, but it has a gigantic, gigantic pray for your pastor tour written on it.
And black and white. You
text
can't, you
this
can't
number.
Miss
so,
it,
there's no question when you come within a half a mile of this bus. Of course, if you've been to any of Andy's prayer events, it's always parked at the golf tournaments and all these different places. But. As if you can imagine, you're crossing, you know, Nevada. And if you've crossed Nevada lately, there's not a lot out there. And all of a sudden you look over and you see this gigantic pray for your pastor. And your pastor sitting there in Nevada, you got a congregation of 20. And here comes this bus landing in your, you know, and you can see the smiles on the people's faces. And like, man, there's somebody out there that there is a church. And getting to that. Right? I think Steve's vision was, right, you can reach the whole body. As these people reached out to you for this ideas about finances, it was about the church.
Yeah, and you know, finances is one of those things that kind of keep us from God. It's one of our stumbling blocks, and it's like we think that money is going to provide us safety. It's going to provide us happiness, and that can only come from God. And like I said, we just have a skewed vision on what money actually is. And like I said, my job, like I said, I just want to help people, you know, experience a better life to be able to serve God more. Cause that's why we do our finances. Cause if your finances are a mess, you're not going to be a good spouse. You're not going to be a good Christ follower. You're not going to be a good worker. I mean, you're just going to have all the stress, but if we can sit there and get our finances in order, you know, we're going to be a better spouse. We're going to be a better friend. We can serve God better. And that's what it comes down down to is that we just don't want that extra stress on us that's hindering our relationship with God and hindering our ability to serve God like that He wants us to.
It's so cool to me, and knowing a little bit about your story, is that God comforted you through your own financial stress, so that you could then comfort others. And certainly we thank you for your service in the military, but you came back, you know, they obviously weren't teaching you in the military how to deal with these things. And so you wrote a book for people in the military, yeah, originally.
My first book was Dollars and Uncommon Sense, Basic Training for Your Money. And it had biblical principles in it, but like I said, it was something that I wanted to give back because, I deal with wealth builders and I know what the secret is. And the secret is not working harder or longer. It's just getting your priorities right. It deals with sacrifice. It's the same traits that I learned in the military. It's almost like biblically, because you're talking about sacrifice and putting others before you and just being accountable and taking charge. And like I said, it has nothing to do with smartness. Everybody thinks, well, gosh, you deal with finances, you must be great in math and stuff. And it's really not. It's dealing with behaviors.
What I'm hoping everybody sees, or I see, you know, I'm just blessed out of my mind that, you know, God blessed you with this vision. This is how you do this. And you had the courage and you walked out in faith to write two books, to start a radio show, to do all these things, which, by the way, are not his source of income. I mean, he didn't write these books so he could get money. He wrote these books to give back. You know, I don't see Andy getting rich out there.
You could say that again.
But God gave you this vision of this Pray for Your Pastor tour, and then he blessed you on this adventure that was just unbelievable. And Mario, you know, take us a little bit, you know, the next thing you know, you're in Iraq and Iran, and you're really dealing with some persecution like you really had no concept of.
Yes.
But still, there's joy. If you look in Mario's eyes, if you can see him, if you can see the smile in his face, you would go, oh, my word. He could not have been those places. He could not have seen those things.
Yeah, well, the perspective is that when we talk about the persecuted church, we usually, in my perspective, we make a few mistakes. One of them is to relate to them as them. Like, the persecuted church is out there, you know, and we are the stable church at this side. We are the free church. And let's pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Let's give to our persecuted. But they are there. They are a reality outside of us. They are 215 million persecuted Christians in the world, and it's a phenomenon that will never get to us. In fact, biblically, there is one Church of Christ. So I'm being persecuted. If my brother is being persecuted in Sudan or in some of these countries he mentioned, or in Central Asia, that's against me. I suffer. The Bible tells me to do that. If the member suffers, the body suffers with it. So there's one church. And on the other hand, these brothers and sisters, if you ask me, they are the best Christians I know. It's not that we are ranking Christians or that we are competing, but they are the real deal. They love the Lord and they inspire me, and that's why I do this. They bring
worship,
me joy.
Yeah, when you just heard, you know, these people, just the reverence for the Word of God is unbelievable. I mean, the joy that's there, and all those things, and be able to testify that. So we got not enough time in one segment to cover all that these wonderful guests have, but so we're hoping you'll stay tuned. We have got so much more to cover in such a short time. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We are so amazingly blessed to have with us today Mario Freitas with More International, equipping the persecuted church worldwide, which, as we just discovered, is me. You're persecuted, I'm persecuted, and oh boy, are we getting persecuted. I've got some stuff that you're going to hear. Wow, it's going to blow your mind. Andy Bowersox with Energized Ministry, and he's taken up the prayer for your pastor, the persecuted ones in your congregation, like yourself. In so many different ways. And Steve Repack, he is the author and radio host of Your Money, God's Way. His book, 6-Week Money Challenge, written as sort of a biblical response to what God was teaching him. And I would point out that if you go to kingdompursuits.com, not only will you hear my hilarious, stupid jokes, but you will find there links to Steve's book, More International, Pray for Your Pastor Tour, all these different things and different ways that you can pray. There's also a couple of different resources there I want to make you aware of. One is that I do a devotion every week in a nursing home, and I put my stupid jokes together as well as wonderful, inspiring stories so that you can print them off and you can share my stupid jokes at a nursing home near you. Absolutely, I love it, and it's one of the most popular things that I do, actually, is people go to that website and print off those jokes and then go share them with people that need to laugh. And we all need to laugh, and it's an amazing thing. And they're all devotional ready. You don't have to worry. If you go to Robbie's, you know, resources there, you won't find anything you can't share with anybody. So kingdompursuits.com, where I do that. But speaking of prayer, one of the things that really touched me Tuesday was Mario shared prayer needs around the world. Now, Andy's all about prayer. If you've been around Andy much, that's the reason he's in the ministry he's in. He heard from God. That's the reason Steve's in the ministry he's in. He heard from God. We get a chance to talk to God. I mean, what an unbelievable honor that is. And as we find out about the persecuted church, we have a chance to share. And so, Mario, you shared some prayer needs that just blew my mind. The one young man, he was 16 years old. Can you tell that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, that was in a country of Central Asia. I met his family. I never met the kid himself, because when I was with them, he was in jail. With adults, they don't have like a special program or anything. He was 16 and he was just arrested with everybody else. And the reason why he was in jail is that he shared the gospel with another kid at his school. When I met his parents, the same way you said, I looked happy today, they looked happy when I talked to them. And they told me about their kid being in prison, their only son being in prison. And I asked more information. They said, well, we are actually missing our son. We're sad that he's there, but we are happy that he is doing what God called him to do, because they've been torturing him in prison with needles under his fingernails for him to break, you know, for him to deny faith. And they can't go anywhere. And more than 130 men already got saved because he won't break. So,
are you hearing this?
I really, 130 people
were saved as a result of a 16-year-old boy's
prison
faith.
Yes, and in a country that I won't say the name, but the amazing thing is, I really think that he's back home now. They went to another country. They had to flee their country. They can't stay there anymore because it's not safe for them. So they're in another country. And he's with his family. I really believe he was released from jail so that nobody else would get saved. You know what I mean? Because he was sharing the gospel just by the way he lived. And so those are the people we work with, we pray for. We serve them in different aspects. It really depends on the need of the persecuted Christians. In some locations, they need to be resettled in a different country because persecution is... You know, they it's just unbearable to stay where they are. In other countries, they need solutions for self-support. So we will microfinance in a country like Sudan. I say that a lot. In the north of Sudan, a Christian cannot be employed by a Muslim by law. They'll close down the business. The Muslim will get in trouble, even if he likes the Christian guy. So the church is unemployed. So we bring microfinance so that they can have their own businesses, and they start and they have their support. So it's tailored around the need. You know, sometimes it's just training.
How many locations are you?
We're directly in 23 countries, but out of 11 base locations. So, for instance, our main work in the Middle East right now is out of Jordan. We have a big base in Jordan, working with Iraqi Christians and people that come from Syria because of the war, you know. And but we are also in Lebanon. We just started a new base in Mosul, Iraq, just in one of the churches that the Islamic State destroyed. We remodeled it, and it's a community center now and a church. So the Jordan base takes care of 5 or 6 different countries in that area, and we do that in other locations too.
And so, speaking of prayer, Andy, you just got back. You know, what are some prayer needs that stand out in your mind of things that our listeners could be praying for churches that you visited?
You were sort of joking when we came back from the break about the pastors being the persecuted, but you know, as Mario knows,
I wasn't dying.
Well, I know, like, and you and Steve and everybody that's in here, but you know, I always say if you're doing anything that's either introducing or drawing people closer to Christ, there is a target on your back that nobody else really understands unless you're on the front lines doing that. You know, there's a host of people that would consider themselves Christians, Christ followers, but really, like, when it comes down to it, are you putting your faith and your comfort on the line to do what God's asking you to do? And if I would just submit to you, if you're not, then you can't understand what the pressure and the spiritual attack and warfare against that really looks and feels like, the manifestations of that. It's absolutely intense if you're doing anything to draw people closer to Christ. And it shows up in all kinds of different ways. And we can talk about that on a whole other program, a whole other way. But I would say on just behalf of our nation's pastors, and you know, it's so obvious to me, Robbie, that we do not allow them a level of transparency to share and to say, you know what, my family's hurting, my marriage is hurting, I've got you know, financial problems, Steve. Like there's like the custom designed failure packages that Satan brings against our leadership will run the gamut of relationship stress, financial stress, health stress, you know, you name it. And they're just, we really need to be able to say, Pastor, you know, just share with us, how can we be praying for you in a sincere, not in a gossipy, in a condescending way, but in a sincere way. We recognize that God is using you. Therefore, we know that Satan is after you, and we want to stand in the gap to fill that in for you right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen, I would say to that. And Steve, as in your ministry, I'm sure you see, you know, and obviously we would love to encourage you in what you're doing, because there's a lot of people that are in bondage to debt, and you know, a lot of us have struggled, myself included.
Yeah, you know, I was speaking at a single moms conference in Louisiana. It's called Life of a Single Mom, and this, I remember this lady, she ran up to me and she was going, Mr. Steve, you know, can you help me? And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm gonna do anything for this lady. But she was breaking down in tears, and so we went off to the side, and I says, well, you know, what can I do to help you? She says, well, Steve, she says, you know, I have 3 kids, and every night I have to go out with strange men so my kids can eat. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, what is this lady actually having to do to feed her kids? And just really puts things in perspective that there's just a lot of people that are out there hurting. And I said, you just don't ever realize it, because we're stuck in our little bubbles. And it's only when we leave that bubble can we really experience, you know, what's really going on. And God just expects us to do this. And like I said, it comes down to the money stuff, is that, you know, one of my largest wealth builders has over $14 million, one of the most miserable people in the whole world. But there's so many people that have less, and they're just so happy and joyous because they're doing the stuff that they love doing. They love serving Christ. They love giving back. And those are the people that really, really experiences God's love and grace and stuff. Like I said, money's not going to buy you happiness. It's only going to give you choices. The more money you have, the more choices you have. But at the end of the day is that, you know, the people that are going to be the most happy are the ones that are going to give the most, and they're going to serve the most. And if you believe anything else, you're just going to set yourself up for a life of disappointment.
Yeah. And I, you know, amen again. I told you we were loaded for bear today. And Mario, you do have some other prayer requests you could share that I know that are kind of on your heart.
Yes. Well, we have an urgent request. Actually, it's a motto of how much intercession is important in our ministry. So we had this man go to Brazil from Pakistan a while ago. A partner organization of ours, they sent us this case. this guy was being beaten and he was held by a terrorist group. And now he's going with his whole family to Brazil as refugees. And we need like the paperwork to get through. It's a big challenging process. So can't share his name, but please pray for this family. It's a serious case that needs your prayer.
From Pakistan to Brazil.
Yes, yes.
Again, more international. Find out more about it at kingdompursuits.com as well as Energize Ministry and Steve Repack. Thank you for listening today. It's so wonderful that we get a chance to share how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Now stay tuned. So much truth coming at you. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine.